This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next on Plains FM, we have Movie Talk, a program for all things cinema-esque, for the discerning film and video junkie.
Welcome again to Movie Talk. Today we'll be looking at a fun-filled women's comedy, Book Club, a group of teenagers fighting to reclaim their freedom in The Darkest Minds, and racial tension and violence in Black Klansman.
Hi, beautiful friends.
I would like to introduce you to Christian Grey.
Oh, no.
We started this book club to stimulate our minds.
From what I hear, this book is quite stimulating.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, what's that? That's not mine. I've never seen that book before, honestly.
This is nasty.
In Book Club, Diane Keaton, Jane Fonda, Candice Bergen and Mary Steenburgen play four lifelong friends who share books as well as their personal romantic issues at a monthly meeting. Sandra Horn has been off to the Academy Cinemas at the Colombo to see what turns out to be equal parts of comedy, romance and conflict. Sandra, do you think Book Club is targeted at a particular kind of audience?
No, I don't think it is.
So it's just as good for men to be just as entertained as women?
I think they would, yes. You'd imagine that with a star-studded cast in that older age group, that it would appeal to women of an older age group.
Yeah, exactly.
but there were groups of younger women in the audience.
Oh, yes, and they were chuckling away.
They were having a wonderful time. And the scattering of men that were there were also enjoying it.
Yes,
you could
exactly.
Hear them laughing.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, because I get the feeling it is sort of targeted at the over 60s women. But nevertheless, it to you and to me, it is a highly enjoyable film for anyone of any gender, any age. Any adult can enjoy that.
Yeah. Oh, well, I agree. It was marketed as being a smart, funny, warm and wonderful film.
Yeah.
A must-see, good-feel movie. And I think it delivered on all those points. Mm.
And I think here we have to thank the success of this film onto the four lead women in this. That's Diane Keaton, Jane Fonda, and Candice Bergen. Yeah, when you're watching the film, you get the feeling that they enjoyed making that film.
Yes.
You know, that they're right into it and just love going along with all the nonsense. I mean, they get up to some silly situations. They have some of the most outrageous talks, particularly about their love lives and their sexual hopes and desires and fantasies and Lord knows what. And all of this is tossed into a film. I don't think he could have got all this into a movie 20 years ago.
Well, probably not, no, but I thought it was wonderful, and you could see that they were enjoying making the film. They seemed to just gel so well in their acting.
And
I liked the phrase that it was a delightful white wine-drenched romp.
Well, this is it, exactly.
It was.
I think if any group of women go in to see the film, they should take a bottle of wine.
Probably, and enjoy it while they were there.
Because this is exactly what they do in the film. They gather, they have their book club meeting, discuss, over a glass of wine, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, the funny thing is the publicity for the film tells us that the current book that they're reading and discussing together is 50 Shades of Grey. And, of course, when they first hear that they're going to do it, they're a bit shocked. No, they don't want to have anything to do with that terrible book and all this sort of thing. And then you get the feeling that as the film goes on, that they are actually influenced by some of the things that happen in the book, let's say the more positive elements of the book, but the book itself is never discussed by them.
It isn't.
There's a couple of sentences and that's it. Yeah, there's no analysis of the book or what the actual book is, or what the book is actually all about or anything.
No.
You can forget about that. It's just these four women doing their own thing.
Well, I mean, the only reference you really got to how they felt about the book was their facial expressions as they were reading. And
each one
accepted it in a different way.
Yes, sometimes there's a look of shock, horror or disgust on their faces.
That's
or
right.
Somebody else with a big smile.
But they it certainly sort of turned their thinking and their lives around at the end of the day, didn't it?
Yes, it certainly said yes. And to me, it was good to see some of these actresses back again. It's quite a while since I've seen Diane Keaton. And she's quite lovely in this film, as usual. And, and the same with, it's a long, long time since I've seen Jane Fonda in anything.
Yes, I agree. But they couldn't have brought together four more compatible women to make this film, I don't think.
Yeah.
I thought that they just worked together so well. And they seem to sort of bounce off of each other so well. I thought it was excellent.
I mean, this again is a positive thing about a film like this. The film is about friendship, the strength behind friendship. They're all going through some emotional or relationship turmoil at the moment, either with their husbands or another one, the husband has just died. And then Jane Fonda, she has gone off men completely and just decides she doesn't want anything more to do with them and all this sort of thing. But all these issues are somehow brought together. And, of course, we get basically happy endings to all of them. We're not giving anything away there. This is that sort of film.
Well, that's right. And I thought it brought aspects of people's lives at that age to the fore.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're younger, you face different problems. But when you get to that older age group, it changes completely. Mm. And I thought that they had a good balance throughout those four women of what they could change.
I mean, these are sort of quite successful, mature women. I mean, one's a judge, one's a hotel owner, one's a chef, all this sort of thing. And so you've got, stand up straight sort of, women there doing all these things. So they're the kind of thing people should want to identify with.
Well, that's right, yes. Very successful women who had sort of really reach their career goals and everything, and yet we're still facing these problems that they eventually started to face and overcome.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Sandra. That was Sandra Horn with her views on Book Club. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9. I'd like to thank the sponsor of the show, the Harcourt's Grenadier Accommodation Centre, which is now located at 98 Morehouse Avenue. If you're looking for a place to live, check out the Harcourt's Accommodation Centre website, www.assetmanagers.co.nz. That address again, www.assetmanagers.co.nz.
If you can hear this, you're one of us. If you're one of us, you can find us.
Soon there wouldn't be any kids anywhere. The government wasn't afraid of what happened to the ones that didn't make it. They were afraid of us. Because the ones that survived changed.
In The Darkest Minds, a group of youngsters imprisoned by adults who fear everyone under the age of 18 form a resistance group to reclaim control of their future. Carolyn Brown has been off to the Reading Cinemas at the Palms to see this fantasy set in a dystopian reality. Carolyn, all sorts of issues are brought up in this rather offbeat movie. What did you think of The Darkest Minds?
I tried to watch it with a teenage hat on because
it's for young adults.
So I know it wasn't going to.
Yeah.
And I still couldn't go, really? That's really how you're going to play that? It's interesting. Like, if it had come out before The Hunger Games or before even Twilight, really, I think it would have done much better.
Well, that's a feeling I get, that it's trying to cash in on the success of these movies that we're getting, like Hunger Games, which is by far the best of this kind of film. These are films about one teenager or a group of teenagers who are being given a bad time by adults.
Yes, they are. Very bad. And the whole of society is just falling over, really.
They have to learn to fight back just for their own survival.
And that's quite unbelievable how that happens as well. I just can't believe the entire adult population decides that children are evil.
Yeah. And I mean, we've also seen that in The Maze Runner, in which case it was a boy who copped it. Now, The Darkest Minds, we're back to a girl
again.
The
acting is pretty good.
Yeah, the main actress, Amandla Stenberg.
Yes.
She's a coloured girl, and she's absolutely, she's got a charm about her and a strength about her.
Yeah.
She holds a whole film together.
Well, she's had to do some major acting already. She was Rue in The Hunger Games. So I do wonder if she was a bit, confused when she got given this
she
part.
She came from one to the other.
One to the other. But no, she does. And some of the other actors as well. There's a guy in it who plays the president's son. He was in The OA, which is a Netflix series, and so he's got some acting chops, as it were, and the others are all newbies. They're all newcomers. But they hold themselves well together, and they do have to hold a serious face in some quite ludicrous situations, really.
I couldn't understand. I don't think it was fully explained what happens in this, or how it's, especially at the start off, because what happens, it's set in the future, and when there's this mysterious disease kills about 98% of children, and the remaining 2% then develop superpowers.
Yeah, and some of the superpowers, I can believe, they're an enhancement. But the breathing fire...
Well, I find them all hard to believe, but the point is, the film does not explain what this mysterious disease is, or where it's come from, that is killing off all the kids.
Yeah,
and then that the small number that survive this develop these superpowers.
Yeah.
Now, that is not explained. Are the two linked together?
It is sci-fi genre, what? But still.
Yeah, even in science fiction, you still need explanation.
It is based on a trilogy of books, and I don't know whether I haven't been able to find out whether the other two books actually explain it. But it is been written by a young author as well, and I think it would have done better as a TV series.
Because
there's
no
plans to make a sequel.
Yeah.
So you are kind of left hanging. I'm sure that's not a plot spoiler or anything, but there is room for another.
I still can see teenagers getting quite, identifying with the film, getting tied up in it.
I was trying to think about what age, because there are some violent moments in it, so I was thinking, would I let my 11-year-old go along to it, because it's got the teenage romance thing and the heartthrob thing, and then I thought, well, no, because the violence is actually quite
I don't know why they lay it on
when you're getting someone to shoot themselves. That's the the other end of the scale of violence, in a way, and setting people on fire and all sorts of things. And then I thought about it, well, what about a 16-year-old, and I think the 16-year-old might be questioning too much.
What's going on?
So I'm not quite. I think it's got a really niche market of maybe 13, 14-year-olds.
No, but I think that if anybody's going to identify with it, it is the teenage.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, you can see the film has attempts to put across a sort of a few messages. There's the moral point of sort of that you can see that these kids have got to learn not to be ashamed of themselves.
Of who they are. There's a Cole Newton thing going on, really, isn't it?
Mm. And all this. So you get these sort of messages coming through, particularly.
But the adults don't come off at all well.
No, you don't
see. Even the ones that are saviours don't.
Because I can't see why they should be so scared of these kids.
No.
I mean, if they're nice to the kids, I don't think they have anything to worry about.
Why would they breathe fire on them if they were nice to them? I don't know either.
I don't know. This is one film. Take your teenage kids along.
Yeah, special effects
and see what they think.
The special effects are quite good.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, they're not too bad. So
and then it's always back to the main girl, Amanda Stenberg. I hope we see more of her, you know, because she plays a 16-year-old girl in this film. I imagine she would be
a bit... She's 19 now.
Oh, yeah. So I imagine she would be a bit older. Yeah, yeah, got a wonderful head of Afro-type hair
she's
there.
She's lovely.
Yeah, it's great. Anyway, so that's it. I don't know how much longer this film's going to last. But,
no, I think it might be short release.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
That was Carolyn Brown helping me with The Darkest Minds. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9.
There's never been a black cop in this city. We think you might be the man to open things up around here.
Hello, this is Ron Stallworth calling.
Who am I speaking with?
This is David Duke.
Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. That David Duke?
God.
Last time I checked. What can I do for
you? Well, since you asked, I hate blacks. I hate Jews, Mexicans and Irish, Italians and Chinese. But my mouth to God's ears, I really hate those black rats. And anyone else, really, that doesn't have pure white Aryan blood running through their veins.
I'm happy to be talking to a true white American.
God bless white America.
In Black Klansman, an African-American police officer manages to infiltrate the Ku Klux Klan with the help of a white policeman, who eventually becomes head of the local branch of the KKK. Ian Cumming has been off to Hoyts Riccarton to see this intense film, which hits the issue of racism with a sledgehammer. Ian, this film was directed by Spike Lee, all of whose films deal with racial tension, inequality, or violence in some way. What do you think of how he dealt with these issues in Black Klansman?
Well, he pulled no punches. He really did
Certainly
not.
Certainly not, no.
From the opening where Alec Baldwin plays this white supremacist rehearsing his lines sort of in the 50s.
Yeah, this is in the 70s.
Well, no, but I think Alec Baldwin's part was...
I think, of course, in
the 50s.
Yeah.
And so, but the film's in the 70s, and there's a closing as well, but I don't think we should talk about that. It'll be a plot spoiler a bit. The very ending...
I think I know what
you think. Yeah. So let's not spoil that for folks who haven't seen it, but you've got to stay right to the end. And you would anyway, because you'd be gripped by the film. It's his latest joint, as he likes to call them, latest film, in his very prolific output he's got, you know. But he's turned up here with this film, which is cinema at its best. It's, you know, never better.
Yeah. Oh, and it's so heavy in your face stuff. That he's, you know, he, like the Alec Baldwin, this is a speech of hate that he delivers at the beginning of the film. And this continues on from, well, you get the black people's point of view too. And, I mean, they're not particularly happy with what's happening to them in the United States. And all this sort of thing, you get both sides, but straight, you know, tossed at you. And I've never experienced that in any other film before. We know that this kind of feelings and talking exists, and there's a lot of it in, say, somewhere like the States. But to see it all put together so tightly in a longer than two-hour movie, wow.
Yeah, well, it's about two and a quarter, actually. I was going to say it's nearly as long as Mission Impossible, the one we saw last week.
Well,
it's a much better film. It always holds your interest. There's no question of my looking at my watch thinking, how much long is this going on? It was really powerful, absorbing, and electrifying.
Yeah, and it's based on a true story, actually, this black African American... policeman had to go and get it, sort of infiltrating the Ku Klux Klan. This is in the 1970s. I didn't even know the Ku Klux Klan still existed, but they always have since right to the end of the Civil War. But they don't necessarily all come out in their white clothes and their white hood on and sort of burning crosses and things, but they have always existed. And then in the 70s, they were starting to make themselves more known to the world and all this kind of thing. You know, and he of course, being black, he can't go and join them, but he gets another white policeman to join, except this fellow, the white policeman happens to be Jewish. And they don't like Jews much either.
Not at all, no. And so the hero, if you want to call him that, who plays Stallworth, what was this man's name? Stallworth, wasn't it? The real man, okay. It's John David Washington, who's... Denzel's son, isn't he?
Yeah, Denzel Washington.
Well,
he
plays
yeah.
he plays this particular the black man who's infiltrates the DVD the DVD the cave KKK with his voice on the telephone.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
uses his colleague played by Adam Driver to be the face of his voice.
Yeah.
But then talking about the voice though, he actually trained with the real guy who wrote the book from which the film is based, so he'd get the voice rhythms right. I read.
I see.
Yes. John David, you know, he's only had a handful of films, and he played a small part with his father in Malcolm X.
I see. This is
John David. He played a little part in Malcolm X, Spike Lee's Malcolm X, with Denzel Washington. You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he is really terrific in the role.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is it. And but they toss it. Spike Lee tosses in so much else. The film starts off with a scene from Gone with the Wind, and this is with Scarlett O'Hara walking amongst all these wounded and dead people after a battle in this Civil War of that at the time. And you see her walking around amongst all the dead and wounded there. Later on, you get scenes from the. Birth of a Nation, which was a big, amazing... That's a silent film going back to 1915.
Very famous film.
And that film also dealt with the Civil War and then went on to dealing with the assassination of President Lincoln and the birth of the Ku Klux Klan. And here, Spike Lee in this film says that film, although highly regarded as a top-class film, was also responsible in the early 1900s for bringing the Ku Klux Klan back again.
Yeah, the resurgence thereof. Yeah, absolutely. So we've got John David Washington, and then we've got Adam Driver, 35-year-old. He's a favourite character actor of mine since seeing Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah.
And so he's in there. And
yeah, well, he plays the other cop.
Does damn well. But how about 91-year-old Harry Belafonte?
Yes, yeah. No,
he's 91.
Amazing,
He's done 20 films in the last 15 years. He's still going strong.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, he had to have his little say in this film also. I think this is what's so amazing about Spike Lee, that he has the ability to get all this wide variety of people together to back him in what he's saying or what he feels has to be said, what has to be said publicly. And put it all together in this. And I mean, this film has gone on to win one of the top awards at the Cannes Film Festival this year. And I can understand why, you know, from the sort of the worldwide point of view, they would think highly of this as an America film coming out of America, you know. Yeah.
So I just want to mention quickly another actor in there. He's actually Finnish, but he plays this nasty man called Felix, the Holocaust denier, the one who wants to expose the Adam Driver character
as
a Jew,
et
cetera. And he's Finnish. His name's Jasper Pakkanen.
He's
a Finnish actor, and this deep south American bigot.
Oh, no. Well, this, I think, is a must see. It's showing all over town. It's showing at the art houses. It's showing at the mainstream cinemas.
Yeah.
And I think it deserves to. And to me, it certainly is one of my top films of the year so far.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's 5 out of 5 for me, or 5.5, actually.
Okay. Well said. Okay, thank you, Ian. That was Ian Cumming with his views on Black Klansmen, and I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9, saying goodbye until midday next Wednesday.